first, as is our custom, it's time to do a few Catholic trivia questions. So let's see how much your knowledge has increased since last week. Okay, so to be elected pope, a man must be A, a cardinal who attends the papal conclave and is less than 80 years of age, B, baptized, C, over 50 years of age, D, fluent in Latin, and E, none of the above. So again, to be elected pope, a man must be at least A, a cardinal who attends the papal conclave and is less than 80 years of age, B, baptized, C, over 50 years of age, D, fluent in Latin, and E, none of the above. All right, so who says A, a cardinal who attends the papal conclave and is less than 80 years of age? All right, did he say that? Anyone else? Okay, James, so we got two. So for those who's, well, who said, I'll go through. Who says B? Baptized. Okay. So the two of you are like, uh-oh. C, over 50 years of age. D, fluent in Latin. E, none of the above. All right. So raise your hand if you said A. Be bold. Okay. Although for centuries all popes have been selected from the ranks of the cardinals, there is no rule that a pope must be selected from their ranks. Who said be baptized? That's the only rule. Correct! The candidate must be a baptized Catholic. He can even be a married layman, according to the rules. C, who said over 50 years of age. Nope, there is no age requirement. Benedict IX, who lived in the 11th century, was only 20 when he was elected pope. And John XII, who lived in the 10th century, was somewhere between 18 and 25, the year of his birth not being known with certitude. He was not a very good pope. I learned about him. Of course, there is no likelihood that such a young person could be elected pope nowadays. But this does illustrate that there is no minimum age. There's also no maximum age. The oldest pope at the time of his election was Clement X, who was elected at age 79 in 1670. Alexander VIII was only a few months younger when he was elected in 1689. Pope Francis, at his election, was the ninth oldest man to be elected. D, fluency in Latin is a fine thing, but it is not a requirement for holding papal office. And then E, who said none of the above, the minimalistic answer B is correct. Okay. One more. Apparitions of Mary. A, are only pious illusions, but the church does not forbid belief in them. B, must be believed if they are authentic, since any authentic revelation must be believed. C, bind in conscience if they are authentic. Only the recipients of the apparitions. So only those who see it. D, are infallibly determined to have occurred if they are approved by the church. And E, none of the above. This is tough, this is great. Apparitions of Mary, A, are only pious illusions, but the church does not forbid belief in them. Who says A? Good, okay. Okay, B, must be believed if they are authentic, since any authentic revelation must be believed. C, binding conscience if they are authentic, only the recipients of the apparitions. Okay. D, are infallibly determined to have occurred if they are approved by the church. Without error, determined to have occurred if they are approved by the church. We just celebrated a Marian apparition yesterday. Which one was it? Our Lady of Lourdes. LOL, right? Okay. And then E, none of the above. All right. Did anyone say A? Good. Some apparitions are illusions or just plain bogus, but some are real. B, who said B? What was B again? I don't remember. must be believed if they are authentic, since any authentic revelation must be believed. You must believe in general revelation, which is from who? Who gives us general revelation? And the apostles, right? Apostles, but are free to reject any private revelation or apparition, even one approved by church authority, such as a bishop or even a pope. General revelation ceased with the death of the last apostle. I don't make these things up. See, about 100 AD. And is found in scripture and sacred tradition. Any later revelation is called private revelation, no matter how many people may be informed of it. Okay, so C, who said C? Binds in conscience, if they are authentic, only the recipients of the apparitions. Only the recipient of a private apparition is bound in conscience to follow it, if he thinks it is real. Anyone else is free to ignore a private apparition, even those who are convinced that a particular private apparition actually occurred. This is not to say that you are free to ignore whatever true teachings are repeated through an apparition. Truth is truth, no matter where it appears. Who said D? Since you know you're wrong now, right? Even approved apparitions are not guaranteed by the church to have occurred. Approval means only that nothing that purportedly has been taught via an apparition is contrary to the faith or to good morals. And so if you said E, none of the above, you're wrong. The C, answer is C. Makes sense? Now you guys are Marian dog. You're Marian experts on all the apparitions. Awesome. Well, thank you all for coming tonight.